as well as one of the things that we're going to look at that Jen has prepared is a revised schedule for the year. So I think one of the biggest decisions we'll be making tonight is, do we agree with that? Is that the way we want to go? So that's a heads up. But go to their approval of the minutes, June 26th. Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve. Any corrections, comments? In favor?
Aye.
Public comment on non-agenda items. Is there anyone here from the public wishing to speak on an item not on the agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to chime in. I'm Travis Bridgman. I live in North Bend, 713 Ogle Avenue Northeast, and primarily I'm just here to listen and learn and be nurtured today. I want to share one positive comment. It's challenging. The Planning Commission is a tough commission, and I congratulate you and give you good cheer because you show up here, you work hard, you listen, you learn, study, and I just want to share some appreciation from our citizens to the commissioners.
Thank you.
Thank you, Travis.
He's nice.
Yeah, we didn't hear that from council.
I said some nice things. I'm going to take them back now.
Agenda item number four, ordinance 1530, interim zoning regulations adopted by council July 1st, 2014. We would usually start with staff overview. We've got some council to speak. Do you want to start with overview, or
sure,
some comment from first?
I was going to start with just kind of the intent for tonight, and based on the timing and the schedule, and then we can go and allow the council to have their input. So just kind of status on your commission, first of all. We have interviewed six citizens for the two vacant spaces. We did that yesterday. The mayor is planning to make a recommendation to the full council on those two.
It's on the agenda that's come out already.
On Tuesday, yep. So that being said, there'll be two new commissioners starting at your next meeting. So with that, you guys have been working pretty diligently on the land use chapter. In the meantime, the council has been noticing that work and also deliberating and discussing their perspective on land use and density and bulk and dimensional standards, and that's also what we're going to talk about tonight. So kind of tonight, the intent that I think is the most important thing to accomplish is our schedule. Based on the fact that the interim ordinance kind of plays into your land use chapter discussion, and you guys... So because the two topics kind of play together, and you have two new planning commissioners starting in a week, next meeting, 2 weeks, and the timing of the council's interim ordinance was last Tuesday the 2nd, and your packets had to be delivered the next day, basically, because of the 4th of July being on Friday. Tonight, we aren't going to dive into the details of that. We're going to bring that back once we have time to staff it and also start it with the two new commissioners, so we're all starting at the same point in time. And then I also thought that would be a good way to approach the future discussion of the land use chapter is, instead of diving further into the discussion, let's just table it until we get those two new people on board and start next meeting. So tonight, the goal is to pin down our schedule and kind of decide if it's something we think is realistic or not. Does that sound good?
Nice.
Okay. Okay, so with that, I could kind of start by giving a brief of what has transpired with the interim ordinance, unless you guys would like to start. It's up to you.
It doesn't matter. I mean, we could start with what started it and go from there. I mean, this has not been...
Yeah, I'll give my preference. I, we've got the council members.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Instead of filtering it, let's hear from those guys.
Well, I think one of the things for me is we go back to the goals for the city and the goals for you and our group, which for me are aesthetic, safety, and livability as one of those. Preservation of the rural and scenic character of the community, which is part of our vision statement. And when it comes to build outs and plats, to offer buyers a diversity of options. And during 2013, you sat in many of our meetings in the CED. During the year of 2013, we had plat applications for 647 homes falling under the standards that were in place at that time. And those standards being a lot size between 5,000 and 6,500 feet for minimums. And some pretty minimal setbacks, in my opinion. As of June 19th of this year, we still have 533 single-family units that will be coming on board under those standards. So as a result of that, and in my mind, we have now a large and ample supply of large homes on small lots with some very minimal setbacks. We also have some large areas zoned for cottage housing, which would be even smaller units on a smaller lot size. As we looked at surrounding cities at one of our recent meetings, cities like Bellevue, Kirkland, Issaquah, Woodinville, Bothell, Black Diamond, their average minimum lot size is 7,600 to 9,600. Ours being, again, 5,000 to 6,500. So we're running between 2,600 and 4,600 feet smaller than surrounding cities that are also doing well in development. You probably saw it in the newspaper last weekend that the median price right now for King County is over $600,000, median price. So, and obviously it's been good for us, the purchasing is up. So we have received complaints from citizens. We ourselves have had some concerns as we go around in the city. And so part of our goal here is to get more diversity and to also have options that offer larger lot size and more and larger setbacks so that people have more privacy, more livability.
Well, I agree with everything what Gene says, but let me take it back a little further. As many of you know, I was on the Planning Commission years ago, and at the time that we agreed to these regulations, I was relatively new. And one of the things, as the Planning Commission and the group that was with me noted, and one of the things that they didn't want, is they wanted something that looked different than Snoqualmie, to be honest with you. They didn't want the closeness of the house. They didn't want some of the things that they were seeing up in Snoqualmie. They wanted something different because most people that moved out here or came out to this area came out not, you know, if they're going to go to Snoqualmie, they'd want the smaller houses. As they came out here, they wanted bigger properties, and that was the message that we got pretty clearly from citizens alike during that period of time. Unfortunately, after seeing what we got based on what we thought we were going to do, it's nowhere near what I believe that the original Planning Commission had in mind and the looks, because we really have something that looks, feels, if you take a look at all the bulk and dimensions, looks like the same thing product you can pick up at the Ridge, and that was never the design. Both Jonathan and I have talked to a lot of different members of the community, and we've had a lot of people come up to us and say, hey, this wasn't what we consider rural or rural looking. You know, and that's kind of a funny term. Rob and I kind of talked about that. You know, rural to some degree is much bigger. And I guess what did we come up with the term that, you know, was much better in the look? But something that where you've got bigger lot sizes, okay, where you're not right up against your neighbor, and something that, you know, gives you the feel of suburbia, I guess would be the way, as opposed to rural, because when you get that dense, you're not going to get what you consider rural. But most of the community here, when they put together the big comprehensive plan, the biggest thing was to keep rural, keep open space, to make sure that the product that came out here fit the community. And there's a concern by the council, and there's a concern by our citizens that what we're getting isn't fitting what we originally designed. So that was what started this whole conversation, to the point where we made the attempt of coming up an interim zoning ordinance, and then hopefully put back to you guys to take a look at it, because, you know, even when I was on it, the things you think you're doing don't necessarily always play, and I think there's a lot of great people on this committee that can take a look at it and say, you know what, I understand what you're trying to do, maybe we do it this way, and this is better. So this is really just the opening salvo to say, let's stop what we're doing, let's take a look at what our zoning looks like, and make sure that we get what was originally intended, I think, by the community.
The rest of the commissioners, as well as the audience, but behind the council members is some of their work.
Yes.
From a work study a couple of weeks ago, where they were trying to get a little bit at the feeling that they get from the different neighborhoods, I guess would be the best way to describe it, as they were trying to articulate the direction that they would like to go. So you get a grasp of
it. Point out it was brainstorming, and so it's not a finished product.
nobody take offense to that, please. It was more of us taking a look and saying, what is the issue, and trying to understand everybody's point of view. Because, you know, everybody keeps taking a look at this, 40 U, per acre, and that wasn't really the issue. It's really the bulk of dimensions and how the setbacks are. And when we came up with the interim reg, it was based off of some of the locations that Gene talked about and comparing what they look like. And I would hope that I'd like to see, I don't know where that comparison is, but it might be worthwhile to get it to you guys to understand.
Staff have that.
We will have that as all part of our evaluation of, for you guys to consider.
You might just point out one other thing. If you take an acre, 43,560 feet, back out the 17% infrastructure, the 5% greenbelt or parks, and then divide that figure by four, you get 8,494 square feet. In other words, almost 8,500. Still at 4 DU per acre. So I think, again, we would still be well within the GMA standards, or their goals at least, and you can go below that. We could go as low as 3.5, which would be 9,700 square feet. So I would push for 8,000 to 8,500 if I were in your shoes. But.
Well, whatever we do, you'll have that opportunity.
So at any rate, even backing out infrastructure and green belts, and we're still within the 4 DU at 8,500.
I think was there a comment from the...
That's a... I'm going to turn my
I just wanted to say they were raising their hand for you.
Yeah. So I'll ask, is there anyone from the public wishing to speak? If so, please get your name and address so captured on the record.
My name's John Day. John Day Homes, P.O. Box 2930 North Bend. First of all, I want to start by saying that the single biggest complaint our customers have is lot size. They would far prefer to have bigger lots. Want to move out here? Their expectation coming out here is, do you have bigger lots? With that said, I don't believe that. I think it's important that you go into this with your eyes wide open. You cannot change the minimum lot size without changing the density. And the concept that somehow 17% is a magic number for right-of-way improvements is a complete fallacy that I believe is being propagated by a number of people within the city and consultants. It is not true. I can guarantee you that changing your minimum lot size to by what I calculate to be about 25% is going to reduce your density by approximately that much. And I will be, during this process, I will be demonstrating to you very specific examples of how what you currently have on the table does that. But there's no question about it that what you're talking about is reducing the overall density. I personally support it. What I have to say out loud, though, is that the only way you can change the zoning, the way you have on an interim basis, is if you declare an emergency, and there's no way, in my opinion, you could have justified declaring an emergency in this situation, that there's a public process that you're now embarking on that I believe should have been embarked on without declaring this emergency. And so anyway, I appreciate that we're moving forward, and I look forward to your hearing my comments on these issues.
Could I ask a question? But if 17%, that's the number we've been given, is not accurate, what are you saying would be an accurate number for infrastructure?
There's no magic number. You can't. That's the fallacy. It's not possible to say it's always 17%. One site might be 25%. And the other problem is, I hear a lot of really strong objections to Cedar Falls and the density in Cedar Falls because the lots are so small. The lots are so small because so much open space was provided in that project. That was something that I was very involved with Cedar Falls, with Wood River, and was a primary developer of Forester Woods, all of and Tannerwood. So four of the six examples you have up there. And Cedar Falls is a good example where basically your current city policies promote more open space, forcing those lots down to the minimum size. They would far have preferred to have bigger lots, and they could have easily had bigger lots had they not been required to have so much open space and so much parks.
Well, I think that's all open interpretation in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not ready for debate just yet.
Excuse me. I just have one quick question. John, you said your customers feel like they're wanting or they ask you for larger lots. What, in your interpretation, is their larger lot size?
Well, they would really all love to have Wood River lots until they live on a Wood River lot for a while. Then they realize that it was too big.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't agree with you.
our standards, John Nicholson's standards, lots are a minimum of 60 and a minimum of 110, which is 6,600 or something. But our average is over 7,200. I think our customers would prefer to have closer to 8,000. The number, your magic number, I think is a good number. I really do. I have a lot of issues with some of the other things that you go into with side yard setbacks, for example. This may sound simplistic, but we build homes that are 50 feet wide and 45 feet wide, and making 8-foot side yard setbacks and having us deal with non-round increments it may sound stupid, but it's it's just challenging math. I don't know how we like things to be simple.
If it was 10 and 20, I'd like that number.
We're not debating right now. He's trying to keep it under control.
So that's the kind of detail that we want to get into, John. So I appreciate that you're going to be active and involved in that process. Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on this agenda?
I guess I have a question. So, Ben Reeser, 13718 Fortin, 61st Place, Southeast. I'm one of the Wood River residents. So is the interim zoning regulation just about lot size? Is that the only thing on the table there, or other things? So, Jenny.
The interim does deal with everything from lot size to setbacks to front yard, side yard, rear yard, lot width. So it's all the dimensions that kind of govern creating lots.
Okay.
And homes.
So it's dimensions.
It's, yes.
Jenna opened up, it's really kind of direction to us. She's still researching. We've got a lot of activity to just to bring that together and figure out staff. She's a little short-staffed this past week with vacations as well. That's really as far as I think we can go with that tonight, but I'm happy to entertain if you've got particular questions you need to put out or how that might relate to the schedule and our other items.
Thanks. Yes, John.
Okay.
About setbacks, John, what is it preferred setback by the fire code?
I think the minimum is 10 feet. It's actually the minimum.
No, minimum five 6.
So you have 5 times 2, 10, that is?
The minimum is 6 feet. And that's about 3 foot side yard setback, so it's 6 really? Feet between buildings.
That's a safe distance apart.
That's the minimum. When you get
with a one-hour firewall.
When you get less than 10 feet, you have to have a one-hour firewall.
Yeah.
And what's the next level? 10, then what's the next level? 12?
I think that's kind of their hard line. If it's less than 10, then you have to have the one-hour firewall like you have between your garage and the rest of your house.
What about sustaining any damage between your neighbor and the next fire in the house? What's the distance you're going to expect if you actually protect your house from being affected by your neighbor's fire?
All right, I'm not following.
Heat radiation, that kind of thing. In other words, my house is burning. How far would my neighbor's house have to be safe from being damaged?
Unfortunately, I actually had that experience. I'm in a house burned down in Bellevue almost 20 years ago. And the house that was 10 feet away was damaged. But typically, houses that burn up, so most of the heat goes up and not out. And usually, the fire department's got to put out before they burn down to the ground, which is like why.
But usually, if you have flammable material close enough to be affected by the radiant heat, it's going to go sideways too.
I think a lot of those questions would be ones you'll need to put to Public Works and the fire department.
Yeah,
when you spoke on the average lot size, the 7,600 to 9,600, were those specifically the density residential zones that
yes.
we were looking at?
And they were 4 DU zones.
Thank you. And then, Alan, when you spoke, you talked about rural but open space. What, in your mind, when you say open space, are you talking about? Are you talking about parkland? Are you talking about wildlife?
You know, open space is, you can go just about any way. I understand John's point to it. I think that, you know, what they want is that you have open space around, you've got parks, you've got some community type, and that you're not, encroaching upon the beauty of the community to some degree. We're blessed with the fact that we have a lot of open space because there's a lot of forest on a lot of areas that will never get built. So I think that's important. I think the feeling of having some amount of open space or park within a larger set community would be important. But how you get there, I'm not sure. When we sat down as a planning commission, that we believed we were doing something that would have affected the density of the homes or the close of the homes. And that's a case where, you know, we, and Jenna was not here. I mean, this was actually the person before Jenna that started this and put this together. And it was clear, everybody kept saying, this isn't what we want. And here I'm sitting here years later, and I'm going, wait, we're getting exactly what we said we didn't want. And that's where I think the big concern has come. And whether it's that we decided we thought that open space should have been a smaller community and a larger park within that community, I'm not sure. I don't think I have the exact answers from my perspective as to what is the best way to do it. But I think there's other communities where they've done a good job, and I think you've got some builders in this community that have some great ideas that can help us get to where we want to get.
Question about the turnover rate. 2008 recession to now, has North Bend's home sales, the building backed up, but did they take a sustained drop? still being sold because of the small lot size?
I don't know. I'm not sure if I can answer that for you. I know prior to, you know, we did, during that recession, we were in moratorium.
Yeah.
So we had no new homes. So I'm not sure we could compare that during that period of time. There wasn't any, during the recession, there was no new product that I can think of. Or were limited new products.
You started Tanglewood in March 2010.
Okay, so you might be able to answer that. But that's not a lot.
We came out of moratorium in 2009, and sewer was available. The annexation was also 2009, and sewer was available. So really, up until 2009, the city didn't even have any options for new development.
Well, the realtors in Tanglewood, they were selling a house every 100 days from breaking to foundation to sell. Every 100 days, they were selling a house. That's pretty damn fast. That's a pretty good record, it seems to me. I'm only beginning to see some sales.
As a comparison to the heyday, so to speak, the Snoqualmie Ridge development was one sale per day community.
Yeah.
Every day. House.
Yeah, but for construction to sale, how long did it take to sell that one house?
Sold before it started.
Every day. They were pre-sold.
There was a house started every day.
They were pre-sold, yeah.
Get to watch it get built.
Yeah, that's huge going.
Just a couple questions, and one maybe is kind of in the spirit of where you're going. I know we have some people that are viewing things a certain way and may not be happy with the development or at least the spirit of what all the initiatives were many years ago mm-hmm. not being realized. Do we have any data that supports the opposite of that? So I know, is there anybody out there, any polls or any sort of indication that we get that from other members of the community that the direction that we're going in is actually good? And the reason why I ask is that, you know, if somebody has an issue with something, then all of a sudden we rally the banners and we take action. It might be a bit reactionary.
How many houses are closed there now? Well, the place that we're trying to change?
That's the thing. It's like, what are the sales? And people selling?
Where's your boat?
So, if that can't be answered, the next question kind of spirals off of what Mr. Day said, which is, what is the actual legal approach here? Process. Are we following it correctly? If so, that's great, but I'm just ignorant to that process. So I'd like to have a little bit more support on that before I jump into some immediate action or call to arms.
I'd recommend we ask the attorney specifically because we did follow specifically whatever our attorney agreed to. So I'm not a legal expert. Won't even pretend to step into that part of it. So something we can probably see if we can get some legal
interpretation. And I'm not saying that the process shouldn't begin. I just want to make sure that if we're going to jump into this, that we do that due diligence to make sure that we're going about it the right way and the legal way, so that if there are people that take issue with how we're proceeding, mm-hmm. we've been responsible about it. So. Those are just two top-of-mind questions.
Well, and there's no doubt that you have a wide diversity of market. And there are some people who are at a stage in their lives where they want small or they don't want a lot of yard to take care of or whatever. So all we're saying is that we have a large inventory now of that market. Do we have enough diversity for those people who want some space? Or a little more space, at least. We were filling things up.
That's a different light to go about this process, as opposed to we've got some people that don't like where things are going, so we need to take action now.
But you had both.
Right, I understand that. So, I mean, for me, it's a perspective point, and once I get the proper context, then I have a better understanding of how I should tackle the issue. So I appreciate both sides of that and being presented, but still would like to know a little bit more about other people in the community and other perceptions.
Does the definition for LDR land on a fixed number, or can LDR be defined to be 3 in some areas and 4 in some areas?
It's defined on however we define.
Yeah, you can. That's part of the process you're in with the comp plan. Yeah. So the comp plan will define your LDR, and then your code, the municipal code, ends up regulating that.
Coupled with that, I'm also hearing that we're kind of in a very narrow wedge between how we define that and what GMA expects of us. That they expect a certain density in this area, and therefore we're almost headed towards it.
Let me explain that, because that seems like a confusing aspect.
Yeah, even okay? The council was confused by that.
Body count.
Okay, so GMA defines urban density as 4 dwelling units per acre. So anything above 4 is considered urban. Anything below is considered rural. Okay. Cities are encouraged to take on urban density because we have the services to provide for the citizens, and that's so they're trying to congregate the density to those services. Okay. GMA, when it was first established, kind of there was this question, well, is 4 DUs per acre a bright line or can it fluctuate? In the Growth Management Act, they've talked about you always could have had lower zoning for sensitive places like floodplains and things like that. So like Snoqualmie had their floodplain zone at 1 DU per acre. Then there was a court action that established that GMA's kind of definition of 4 dwelling units per acre is a goal, okay? So cities can regulate to their needs, but with that being said, the overall kind of, like when they establish our build-out goals and our all of that, they base it on 4 DUs per acre as a minimum, but it's not a requirement. It's just a...
Can I just ask in summary? So isn't it as basically the 4 comes out of the math, but what we're really being expected to do is to accept a certain population.
Yeah, we have to meet our goals.
Our target. A line,
right.
Right? So it's however we choose to get there, whether that translates into 1 or 3 or 4 or some combination of higher density in multi and lesser in a low density, that's up to us to figure out how we're going to get there.
And we're not too worried about that. We're not too worried about meeting your targets. It's that right now what we're talking more about is community character, look and feel. The targets we feel are achievable based on what we have. So it's more about, unless you guys go quite a bit lower, then we'll really start looking in that. But you do have a lot of areas that could potentially develop with multifamily or townhome that you created some overlays. So it just depends on how those develop. But we're pretty confident you can meet your targets regardless.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Is there a number that I can kind of plug in my head about how many building permits this action is going to affect or how many starts, for example?
All the plats that were vested, they vest to the regulations in place. So those won't be, these do not affect those. These will affect any new ones coming in. So right now, we have some potential out there, but we don't really have any new ones that are ready to submit we could have a few, but I don't know exactly if they're a month away or 6 months away.
One of the things that strikes me about this, and I've not studied on it, but I was here too when we were all in the Planning Commission together and dancing around this a couple of different times.
Yeah, okay.
GMA is a hard animal to deal with, right? So you try to buffer it by being creative.
Right.
And I guess the question I immediately thought of when I read this was, is someone who's objecting to what they see willing to trade open space for a bigger yard for the individuals who bought into that plat? Because that's really the question. We force developers to create open space and sidewalks and wider streets and different things that I'd argue that some of their customers probably don't use and complain because their HOA dues have to take care of it. So as we go into this, I feel like we've already gone over it 1,000 times. Totally willing to do it again, but I'm
really concerned that what's really going to happen is we'll have another little subtle hit. We've had water moratorium. People don't talk about it enough, but there's a sewer thing poking its head up. And then we're going to take the folks who might be getting in the pipeline for 3 to 5 years from now and shut it down for a while. So I'm concerned about the cycle of keeping the town alive when we've got a downtown core and the stranger comes in off the freeway and says, what the hell's going on in North Bend? Rest my point from there.
You know, we also have a heck of a lot of open space around the system provided by federal, state, county. That's a CBO that the city has to provide in the open space themselves. There's open space everywhere. You can get to it in minutes by walking or not. So I don't think we need to build many parks in our communities when we have major parks so close. We're fortunate that way that larger communities with no amenities have to find the open space somewhere. They take it out of the residential space. I understand that. But there's no reason why we have to contribute to this open space way beyond what we already have. Our taxes and whatnot, you get TDR rights, all these things are being used to buy up land to prevent development. Those are all becoming opportunities for open space use. Mm-hmm. We should use that in our benefit and try to provide the suburban rural feel that we're looking for out here.
Well, that's the thing we're looking for.
So if I could interrupt at this point and suggest that it's a great introduction to the topic. Obviously one that a lot of passion around and want to move forward towards. And so with that in mind, I'd like the discussion to move towards figuring out the agenda and how we'll actually get there. To do that, we do have another published agenda item here in the comp plan, land use element. And so what I would propose is I'd like to introduce that topic, see if we have any comments from staff regarding that. Let's see if we have anyone from the public here wishing to speak about that item. And then just shut that part down and let's just move into the discussion around this. Does that work for you guys? Yes? Great. Thank you. next item on the agenda, comp plan, land use element, continued discussion on zoning. Jen, did you have anything particular?
No, I actually think we should just table that and start together with the new commissioners next meeting.
Before we table, is there anyone from the public wishing to speak on this topic? Seeing none? All right. So we will leave that one line. And now, do you feel that, considering that this is a continuing discussion on the actual topic, do you want a formal table or just let it run?
No, I think we're fine. Yeah. You took it up. It's just that.
Let's figure out where we're going.
Okay, so there should be a copy for everybody in the room. So if you don't have one, let me know. I have a few more.
Stick out to the bitter end.
I'll stick it. Okay.
Thank you.
So we have a schedule here in front of you. So let me know if anybody out there doesn't have a copy. So the first page actually is we've already been there, done that, but I wanted to include it just to kind of keep everybody's memory fresh on what we've done. So we're, if you turn to page 2, we're at July 10th. Mm-hmm. Originally, we were going to bring forth and introduce the housing element. So what I've done is cross that out. We've kind of talked about the interim regulation, tabled the land use, and then now we're talking schedule. So on the July 24th, what we think we can accomplish there is more discussion on both those two topics, the land use zoning, the land use element, and the interim regs. I have those two topics as the only two topics for July 24th, August 14th. I respected your request to keep the second meeting in August as a canceled meeting. September 11th and September 25th would be hopefully the date where we get a recommendation on those two. Land use element is obviously the biggest. That is a challenge. I'm a little worried about that. The only reason is because it also comes with your capacity analysis. So whatever zoning you guys end up deciding on, then we got to get the numbers together to put together the capacity analysis, which takes a little bit. So kind of one red flag there, but that would be the ideal. Then somewhere in October, going back to what was a code amendment that was on your 2014 work plan that we should talk about is this discussion regarding landscape buffering regs, and specifically related to service uses. Right now, what that one is if you recall, we talked about this previously, but what right now your landscape regulations, your buffering requirements aren't triggered until a development application comes in. This would trigger it at a business license standpoint for uses that have kind of service areas, so more of the auto-oriented, towing, those kind of things. Because what we have is a lot of those uses flipping a new business taking over, but we aren't getting the improvements as those happen. So that is something that we should probably see where we could fit in still this year. And then going into October, we have the housing element, transportation element. You guys spent almost 2 years on, so what we're going to do hopefully is keep that to a minimum. You approved it last year, so you have still another 6.5 years before. There's a couple minor elements that we need to address, just updates. So hopefully we can get those knocked out in 2 or 3 meetings and with a recommendation in November. And then we have the November, the Thanksgiving has to be canceled. And then what we'll do is in December we'll introduce the capital facilities element. So if we do what I just kind of described, you'll see our 2014 accomplishments, which actually, you know, we did the streets, we did the residential design standards, we did marijuana, and we'll have tackled the interim regs.
We approved marijuana. We didn't do that.
I was thinking the same thing.
I appreciate. I really appreciate that. For the record. Yeah, that was terrible. What did I say? We did. Yeah. Okay. We approved marijuana regulations relating to zoning, and then we've already done the CenturyLink zoning and land use amendment, which actually was 2013's comp plan. The vision statement, critical areas, and so what I had as a goal for you guys this year would be the only 3 elements we would try to accomplish is land use, transportation, and housing. Housing is a small section, but a big section, topic-wise.
we don't count the amount of work by the number of pages.
I know. And then the ones in 2015 is... you can see listed there for the comp plan amendments. I didn't even try to kind of assess what code amendments we'd be bringing up in 2015. Now, I know you guys have this question of, well, the city has this mandate to have our comp plan updated by June 15th, 2015. And the question is, what happens if we don't make that deadline? Okay. We didn't make our deadline on our transportation. And what I was doing is just keeping PSRC up to speed that, hey, we're working diligently. These are the meetings we're having. This is discussion. It is what it is. It's a public process, and that's what it's supposed to be. So they did not ding us in any way. They just kept saying, hey, how you doing on it? They also did not approve any grants that we applied for based on that reason. Okay. So I'm still looking into it with them on, you know, hey, I'm feeling like we're doing a good job here, but we might not meet that date. So heads up, PRSC. And so that's kind of, you know, the goal is we always want our comprehensive plan certified. I feel that if we're working diligently, we'll be treated like we were with the transportation plan.
What sort of grants do we have coming down the pipe that may affect that?
Any grant that you apply for.
Do you foresee any that would be
sure.
To apply for?
Any transportation grant,
essentially
parks.
Every project that the city does, grant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we go out for.
How big of a price tag are we looking at?
Oh,
What sort of dollars?
Yeah.
What percentage of the city's budget is funded by outside money?
That's a good
as much as possible. I don't know if there's a percentage. The funny thing is, prior to us getting to, what, over 5,000, we had a lot higher percentage of grants. Since we've hit the 5,000 and above, it's a little harder for us because we're competing with the big people. But surprisingly, for a city our size, we've gotten a large amount of grants. And the first thing we do when we go out to do something, we look for grants. So even the TBD, everything we've done with the TBD, we've tied it, to try to tie it to grants to be able to extend the tax dollars that we have.
It would be nice to have some sort of volume or forecasting read on what the impact might be, because that might weigh into.
Yeah, well, I'm like I said, I don't foresee us not getting a grant because we're still working on things. The other thing that's really great is your transportation element was certified last year. So we now have 6 years to update that. Most of the grants we apply for relate to streets, roadways, you know. I think right now, you know, between your plaza and a couple overlays, we're into over $1 million worth of grants for sure.
And so I may have 6 years.
Well, with our matches, I shouldn't say that.
With the matches.
Yeah, with the matches. Yeah. So so really where you are is parks, but you updated your parks element in 2012. So we're actually in a better situation with most of the elements that we go out for grants on.
So I'm very cautious optimism. We wouldn't anticipate any difficulty by missing
it. That's what I'm anticipating, but it's just keeping – and as I'm assuming a lot of other cities are going to be in the same boat, that happened with the Shoreline Master Programs, you know, statewide, and you just – we'll do our best and communicate with PSRC.
Well, I was just going to – in general.
Yeah.
I think it's a great plan, but I'm wondering if we should try not to couple these items on some of these urgent needs, such as the interim zoning regulations. I understand, you know, splitting it up to keep the comprehensive plan going, but to me that seems to be kind of an urgent one, because we have right here that we've got to solve. So I'm not sure if it's just putting it up for discussion, if it might behoove us to consider what are the things, you know, reprioritizing it, what are the most urgent needs here, and then structuring it on that, and just having concentrated dialogue on those particular days so that we can resolve that, because ultimately that's going to inform some of our land use and zoning, right? So there's a this-then-that type of process that may be impacted by that. So that's one. And, you know, the other part of that is understanding if the process that we are going to go through with the interim zoning, if that's a legitimate process, or do we take that up as a different type of thing once we hear back?
Legal.
Legal.
I got you. I would expect that definitely much information we have to have to weigh in on these discussions would be as you're suggesting. I like the idea of getting the thing tackled done, but maybe our support group can't get the data that quick.
Yeah, and that's a valid point, so that's why I just put it out there, because if it's a logistics or feasibility issue, then I
think it relates to both, right? Our demands all go to the same staff. It's the same hours, and whether they're researching something in land use or whether they're researching something in public and dimensional. And so
I'm dealing with all the development too.
That goes to my concern. So I'll ask the question a little bit different way. I'll leave off my reference to a certain ordinance that we made a recommendation to council on earlier. Say, so within the last few meetings, we were pretty much only going to look at land use for the next four meetings. So I don't really see how we're going to double up.
Well, the reason why I thought doubling up kind of made sense is, I mean, we could definitely push this back and push land use seven meetings. The only thought I had was there's been discussion about not only just bulk and dimensional, but hey, what if we want 1 acre lot somewhere? What if in the floodplain there's, you know, areas that we want to, so that discussion, I think, will naturally come up through the interim reg discussion, your zoning, because even we heard today, you increase the lot size, you lower the density. That then is going to play into your zoning map. And that's why I thought, well, if they're together, maybe you're kind of killing two birds at one stone as you discuss this. What I kind of think as we're talking about this, the amendment that I'd make to the schedules, let's not worry about the land use chapter recommendation. Rather, once you guys get through discussing the bulk and dimensional with the zoning, that will indicate to us what we need to analyze for capacity. So we might bring capacity back to you at the end of the year.
I don't see how we can talk about bulk and dimensional without zoning, but I don't see us trying to charge down
capacity. No, I agree with that.
And I echo that sentiment.
And I think that's fantastic feedback. Mm-hmm.
Gary. I think makes sense for us to have our next meeting focused on bulk and dimensional and try and get as much of that covered, not try and fit in land use at the same meeting, and then tie them both together at the next meeting where we can then talk more about the implications of maybe our decisions and maybe what we need to do with land use and adjusting some of them.
Are you saying related to the ordinance?
Yes.
Okay, proposed ordinance.
Yes.
Sorry, I agree with that. If somebody's going to call it an emergency, then let's treat it like that. Otherwise, it's a fake word. Check.
But I think it's still, as we're discussing, it's how one informs or impacts the other. And that's the rub of the zoning.
And interestingly, it ties into the land use element anyways. So if we're looking for a more diversified portfolio in our neighborhoods, this is a good time to take it up anyways without the emergency, because it just kind of fits right in.
Because they declared an emergency, now they're obligated to have a public hearing within 60 days.
That's council and process.
They're obligated.
Yeah.
So they will have that public hearing with or without you guys.
Yeah.
So you kind of, if you want to contribute to the process, you need to do it diligently and urgently, or the council will do it for you, in my opinion.
Well,
as always.
Nothing on the agenda yet, but he's right. I mean, at some point, I mean, that was one of the reasons why I see what you guys are going to do. I mean, I don't want to circumvent you, but we do have to follow laws.
Mm-hmm. But the public hearing isn't the end of the process.
It'd be interesting to get something before or combine, you know, so you guys are involved.
While you're here, how do we do that? How do we, other than being part of the public and showing up at the council meeting, how do we get involved? How would you prefer?
You're involved in these next meetings, I hope.
Well, I guess the question is instead of, it doesn't have, you know, the point he's making is we have to have a public, you know, comment. Doesn't mean that next month you couldn't have the public comment within your planning commission as opposed to the council. You tell us what you want. I prefer that than
you know, there's two meetings in the next 60 days for you, because you're taking one off in August and you have the next meeting.
Yeah. And the other thing I will tell you.
Thank you for suggesting that maybe we would take that public hearing, but I much think that it would be who the council would hold that public hearing.
Well, you asked where you can participate in the process, and I think I will tell you, Jonathan's not here today. He plans on coming to the next one, the goal is to make sure that we have somebody to support you guys, whether it's at the council meeting or whether it's in a planning commission meeting. That's something I think I'm going to let better and cooler heads prevail, because we're only two of
seven.
Yes. Well, I was going to say that, but I was, you know, two of seven. We're not a quorum, so we can't make any decisions.
Well, what I appreciate, I was going to ask that, is the idea that whether at every meeting, but that there be regular process so that you're hearing and seeing and able to comment into whatever direction we may be going. That's going to be
I will be out of town on the 24th of this month, but I could commit to your August 14th, for example.
And I'll probably tag along with Jonathan on the 24th, if he's around.
Yep, and appreciate that. Another thing I want to ask of the commissioners that I think weigh in on this as well, a little higher level than the specifics is, one is, and this came again after our last meeting, tendency of allowing meetings to go fairly lengthy. And I think it's both a burden on those of us attending, and I think it's a particular burden on staff who already have very long days within it. And so I would like your support that at most we're going till 8:30, most any meeting. I mean, that's not the particular meeting. Couldn't go longer by a topic, but as a general rule, I would like to try and manage to get us done in that time frame. The second thing along those lines that I wanted to check with in regard to this schedule is other commissioners' expectations of vacations and attendance and availability for these next 6-8 meetings. As pointed out, preserving the meeting already intended to have a break on. I can mention I know I will not be at the next meeting. State. 24th.
Who will be here on the 24th? One, two.
Right now, I'm good. It's at least three.
Okay.
And we'll have two new members by then. Yes.
Two new members.
One of which I know will not be in town for. I don't know about Elizabeth Kittlersley.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I'll take this point to say one of those new members are anticipated to be, if council takes its action, is. Curtis von Trout is sitting there.
Knowing that, I do have some concerns with putting it on the 24th. While we have five here tonight, that we could discuss it.
Putting
the interim ordinance.
Well, I heard the quorum. Plus,
I know,
the
I'm
likelihood
saying
of a new member.
One new member, absent the chair.
Well, that's why we have vice chair. A very capable one. I'm not concerned myself with that. I get what you're saying. But if it's about me, I wouldn't be worried
about me.
Well, I wouldn't be worried about you. Another thing, I don't think there's enough materials ready to stretch anything.
I'm ready to make my motion.
Wow.
I'm here to prove it.
You had to bring two tape measures to do it.
Length and width, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can stand inside the 35.
But you're willing to not go there?
I am willing to not
go
there.
Okay, thank you. So,
wait till
with that in mind, do we have any? What I heard was a general next item, don't have land use on as an agenda at all.
Okay, I heard that.
I still think there'll be, pushback the idea of a recommendation on land use.
Yeah.
I heard that we had two meetings consistent with contiguous on the interim.
Well, we've got this schedule lays out.
Four.
Yeah, but ours, we would not have more than one item. That would be
the first meeting where you would have one.
Well, I think what Jenna was suggesting is that at some point land use comes back up through the zoning. We need to look at the zoning.
Yeah.
So that the appropriate time we have, and I think that may, whether we really do that two meetings out or three meetings out, probably gets informed in the next meeting and we see where we're at. That's
the next meeting, but that's where I think we're supposed to be.
Well, we may be done.
So, coming back to the comments about the quote emergency guide to the city council address this. Somewhere almost along the same time we are, if not before.
Yeah.
If we end up having trouble on the 24th of July, we'll come back in August and find out it's already been decided. So, just as a thought, following that, what's keeping us?
No, these are interim. So you will always come back to you. The council just has to have a planning, public hearing.
That's the way the ordinance was written.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that there's a particular action.
Understand, I'm just trying to think. The two, assuming the mayor acts, we've got two additional members, effective, what?
Next meeting.
Next meeting?
Yeah.
Well, they'll be approved on Tuesday.
They'll be approved.
It's coming Tuesday.
Yeah, and they'll be at your next meeting.
So, okay, so it's a crazy idea to follow in this emergency concept. What's keeping us from having a meeting that's not on the agenda, that becomes a public notice record, et cetera, even as early as next week?
If you would like to go there and get other commissioners to commit to it.
I'm starting a conversation.
That could happen. I myself don't support additional meetings.
Okay.
I'd like to know if staff has capacity for that.
Well, I mean, when we're either in a week of having a meeting with you or a week of preparing for a meeting with you, meaning packets are getting prepared when we're not. So realistically, if we were today, next, we wouldn't be able to get a packet out. No, we can't do a meeting next
Tuesday.
Well,
this is just this interim ordinance they're talking about.
Understood. Single agenda. I think it's the same, and we've had this occur a few times over the last few years, and the conclusion we generally come to is staff's ability to do the research we ask for in any particular meeting, get materials turned around. They just can't cycle any faster.
Well, if you have a meeting on Tuesday night, let's hear. Packets go out, so we have 5 days to get. We have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Well, 6 days. We're talking about meeting on Tuesday night. That's also council.
No, we have 6 days on a normal 2 week.
What would probably be involved in packet though?
Well, it depends how in-depth you go on this. How in-depth are you planning to discuss this topic? Is because if
front, back, side, setbacks, parks requirements, sidewalks.
Then that's a lot of probably analysis, and then, you know, we'll have to include, you know, infrastructure, streets, and basically, so, yeah.
It could be pretty simple, but then it could be down the roots.
Well, it's taking the brainstorming board and putting it on an actual map with specs, visualizing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doing a lot of calculations.
Yeah. So, so as a matter of perspective, it's taken us a little over 1 hour just to discuss how we're going to discuss it.
I'm just trying to fit in with it. Yeah, if indeed this is an emergency function. Public should know if that's the conversation that we're acting accordingly. If it's not an emergency, then take that off the conversation. I get the reason. It's schematics.
Yeah.
Semantics.
Right, and before I can really
get
figure out a position and all that, yeah. And then like to have that before even engaging the public on that. So that
I'd like to ask the staff if it's possible to get the average lot size for construction from 2010 to, the average square footage home size from 2010 till today in North Bend. Is that something you could provide us?
As in new construction?
New construction, the average, the small, and the largest.
Lot size? You're just talking.
No, square footage.
All square footage. Okay. All right, because the average.
So I want to look at what fits in what box.
So you want the average.
Average, the small, and the large.
And what's that number? It's going to be 200 houses less, right?
No. Are we building more 2,300 square feet home? Or are we building 3,000, 3,500, 4,000 square feet?
No, I mean, since 2010,
yeah.
The total is going to be less than a couple hundred. You're going to be averaging relatively small number, I think.
Yeah. But I'm not looking at historic North Bend. I'm not looking at the 1950-style homes that are not in today's market.
Yeah, right.
People aren't buying 600-900 square foot homes.
Yeah, that's that. You made the point I was going to bring up earlier about the lot sizes going back to these neighborhoods, the towns that you speak of. Those lot sizes were created in a different time, different requirements, probably before GMA started playing an overlay.
Not necessarily. They've done the same things we have. You know, they continue to have council meetings and planning commission meetings, and they had to meet GMA too.
Yeah. When was Red River completed? Anybody got that?
Wood River?
What year?
That was about
1997. Got the source with us. That's a good source. So, and I, is there any comment about GMA overlay back in 97 or would have been 95, 6, I guess?
Just prior to.
Yeah, so that exists because GMA did not.
Well, it was in the county. It has totally different, you know, I mean, at the time,
yeah,
it had county zoning, which was large lot.
Okay. So, anywhere else we're going tonight?
Move to adjourn. Before that, would it be helpful to also have this information sent out to the whole commission with the square footage and the garage sizes that Tom provided?
Yeah, I mean, Tom gave... I got to review that, and Tom answered that. I haven't seen it. Yeah, I haven't really dug into it. So what we'll do is instead of piecemealing your packets, I've been taking notes on my little phone, and I will make sure we have it all in the packet for you. I know, talk to my city.
Okay, before we ask the motion to adjourn, I've already mentioned, but also, I hope all of you received the notes from the city suggesting that you attend the open government training on July 22nd.
Yes.
That's all I've got.
On the new commissioners, is there somebody on point to rotate them and make sure they're aware of the meetings? And
yeah, we're gonna sit down with them. We're gonna actually bring Dick and do them all three together.
Awesome.
And then we'll walk them through the calendar and the comp plan. And
thank you.
Call the question.
I'd just like to thank the city council members for coming to our meeting and appreciate the support and most of the information.
Thank you for giving you a lot more work on
this. Well, it's nice that we get off on Christmas.
Maybe. All right, I'd entertain a motion now.
I will move to adjourn.